And welcome back once again to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. As I continue episode number one of season two, where I'm talking about defining moments in our lives. This is part two of episode one, so I hope you will tune in for the first part, as well as check out episodes from season one. All of that is at the podcast website, rss.com/podcast/truthfromtheheart. You can also find the podcast on various platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And of course, you can email the podcast as well, truthfromtheheartpodcast@gmail.com. So we started talking about defining moments in our lives. I gave you the definition of a defining moment from Forbes.com. And then we took a look at a couple of the first defining moments that I had from God's Word. And that was the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, and how that changed and was a defining moment for both the eunuch's life and for Philip's life. That story was found in Acts 8:26-40. I hope you will read that story. And then we talked about the conversion of Saul, one of my favorite stories, and I always get emotional about it, and I don't know why, and maybe it's just because it's just amazing to see the difference that God made in Saul's life. And of course, Saul eventually became the Apostle Paul, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote 13 books in the Bible, more than any other author, and he was one of the greatest Christian converts of all time, and of course, one of the most well-known disciples or apostles of Christ that people know about. And so, God can change anybody's heart. He can change anybody's lives. But again, that was a defining moment for Saul, as well as Ananias, the one who was a disciple of Christ, and God sent him to Paul after he was blinded on the road to Damascus. And he said, "He is a child of mine." And he said, "Go to him and lay your hands on him and I will restore his sight, and he will be baptized." And again, I know it was a defining moment for Ananias as much as it was for the Apostle Paul, because that got Paul's missionary journey started. And from then on, he was always known as the Apostle Paul. See, that's the thing that I love about God, is he never holds our past against us. And we read the story of the conversion of Saul. What an amazing, amazing story that is. And remember, one of the things that I said I wanted to do with this podcast is just talk to you in a layman's perspective and not go down any rabbit trails or anything. But I also don't like using the name story, because, you know, sometimes when you're growing up, you hear, you know, adults say, well, the kid was just telling a story, which means that it's not true or they were just making it up. But of course, that was not a made up story. Neither one of those was made up. None of the examples that I have for you are made up. They are in God's Word, which are completely true. I'm calling them stories because that is technically what they are, but they're not stories as in fairy tale stories or fictional or anything like that. They are nonfiction, and we can look at these stories and find hope in God's Word, and also, again, see that he is in the defining moments in our lives as well. The next one is one that is more well known than most, and that is the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Now, to give you a little bit of background on Abraham, he is, of course, known as the father of many nations, and that is because of this reason right here, and that is God promised him a son, but Abraham actually had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, and God came to Abraham at 100 years old and told him, "I am going to bless you with a son." And for those who aren't familiar with the Middle East culture, it's very important to have a son so that you can pass on your legacy and that you can pass on your name and your heritage. And so it was very important in that tradition of the time to have a son. It was something that was very important to many men, and Abraham wanted a son that he could pass on his heritage to, but he and his wife Sarah were unable to have children. And finally, God came and said, "I have heard your prayers, and I'm going to bless you with a son." And Abraham was human like you and I were. He did not want to wait on the promise of God. And so he ended up having a relationship with his wife's maidservant, Hagar. And that is how Ishmael came about. And Ishmael is the oldest son of Abraham. But here's the very important key. He is not the promised son. Ishmael is the son of Abraham, but he is not the son that God promised. And this is where a lot of the animosity between the Islamic faith and the Jewish faith is. because they feel that they have been robbed of that blessing, because especially being the son, but being the oldest son, that is the one who would receive the father's blessing. And so their argument is Ishmael is the oldest son of Abraham, therefore he is the one that is the promised son, or that God said, I'm going to bless him in a mighty, mighty way. But that is not true, because Ishmael did not come from Abraham and Sarah. He came from Abraham and Hagar. Now, God did not forget about Hagar and Ishmael, and he did bless them. And this is why I believe, and I know there are many others that believe, that the reason that the Middle East is so rich in oil is because that was the blessing that God gave to Ishmael, because Ishmael is known as the father of the Islamic faith. And so that is why there's animosity. If you've wondered, why does it seem like that a lot of the Islamic traditions or Islamic countries hate Israel? This is why, is because they feel that they were robbed of that blessing. But that, of course, is not true in any type of way, because Ishmael is not the promised son. So later on, after Ishmael is born, then God blesses Abraham and his wife Sarah with the promised son, which of course is Isaac. And Isaac was the father of Esau and Jacob. Jacob, of course, had his name changed to Israel, and he had 12 sons, which are known as the 12 tribes of Israel. So Isaac is the promised son. But that is why Abraham is known as the father of many nations, because he is technically the father of the Jewish faith as well as the father of the Islamic faith. And so that is sort of a little bit of background on Abraham. And the reason I bring that up is because when I'm going to talk about this defining moment, it is one that in some ways doesn't make sense, but this is why it was such a defining moment, because only God could do something this amazing. This section, or the story that I want to lead you to, is found in Genesis chapter 22. And it's going to be Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. And it is all about when God told Abraham, I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. And of course, sacrifice was very big back in those days, because, of course, Jesus had not come yet, and Jesus, of course, was the last sacrifice. He said, I am the sacrifice once and for all. And so what they would do is they would usually go and they would find a lamb, and they would go and they would sacrifice the lamb to God. And so, again, this was something that was part of the tradition back then. And so here is God telling Abraham, take the promised son whom I blessed you with, who I promised to you, and I want you to sacrifice him. And I can't even imagine the faith that it must have taken, that Abraham must have had, to trust God enough and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what this is all about, but I trust you. I believe in you, and I'm going to take the son that you promised, and I'm going to sacrifice him. I think he knew that God never breaks a promise. God has never broken a promise. We as humans, of course, we break promises all the time. But God has never broken a promise, and he knew that God promised him a son. He knew that the Lord would provide. I'm sure there were so many things going through his mind at the time. He probably didn't all understand it, but he knew that when God spoke, he was to listen and to follow what he said. So Abraham and Isaac head to the land of Moriah. They go up on this mount, and Abraham builds an altar. And again, I'm sort of paraphrasing this. I don't have time to read the entire passage. Genesis 22, 1 through 19. As they get there, Isaac sort of starts to figure out something is up, and he was like, where is the lamb for us to sacrifice? And Abraham says this amazing line, and he said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so Abraham knew that God was in complete control, and that whatever happened, he knew he was still going to have faith in God. He kept his faith, even though he asked him to sacrifice his son. And so as Abraham was about to take the knife to his son to sacrifice him, an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on your son or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, who again was promised from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes up and looked, and behold, with him he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went to the ram and offered it up as a burnt sacrifice instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is called to this day, and it is known as the Mount Moriah. And on the Mount of the Lord it shall be provided. That is what it is known as. What a defining moment that was for Abraham. God had come in and said, "I'm going to bless you with the son and make you the father of many nations, and I'm going to bless the Jewish people through you and through your son, this promised son that I have given you." And then at the same time, here comes God, and he turns around and he says, "Now I want you to sacrifice the son to me." And Abraham was willing to do it. He was willing to give up his son in order to follow what God said. So it was a defining moment for Abraham, and I'm sure it was a defining moment for Isaac as well, to see the faith of his father Abraham and see how much faith he had in order that he was going to do what God said when we don't completely understand it. What a great testament that is for us. And I think if you go back and you look at some of the defining moments in your life, as I do in mine, not all of them, but in some of them, it doesn't necessarily make sense, or you don't understand why this happened or how it happened this way. You just know it was a defining moment, but it's God's hand was in it from the very beginning. And I know that there have been some defining moments in my life that I've had, and when I go back and look, I say, only God, only God. And that is so true. He is in our lives. He loves us. He cares about us more than we could ever think or imagine. So that is another great example of a defining moment in God's word. I've got three more for you. I'm going to try and hit them here pretty quick, so again, I can kind of wrap up and get done with this episode. And that is going to be Daniel, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And that's found in Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel was high up in the king's kingdom, I guess you could call it. And he was very well liked by the king, but there were some people who did not like Daniel. And they went to the king and tried to get him to make this edict that said, "You have to pray to me, and you cannot pray to your God, but I'm the only God that you can pray to. And that if you disobeyed that edict, that you would be thrown into the den of lions." And of course, they knew that Daniel's faith was very strong and that Daniel was not going to bow down to anyone other than God Almighty. And so Daniel, of course, went to pray, and he prayed to God Almighty. And when the king found out, he was very heartbroken that that had happened. He did not want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, but the ones who plotted against Daniel reminded him, "You signed this edict." And so he did that, but God, of course, shut the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was down there. I'm sure it was a defining moment in his life as well. Again, here he is following, praying to God, and following what God has said, and he had great faith as well. And here he is sitting in a den of lions. I can't imagine all the things going through his mind at the time, but after several days, when it was found or discovered that God had shut the mouths of the lions, Daniel was brought out of the lion's den, and the king actually threw the family, the men and the families of the men who plotted against Daniel in the lion's den, and they, of course, were devoured. And the king restored Daniel's position in his kingdom, and Daniel, of course, went on to be a great prophet. What a defining moment. Somebody doing something that they know that they're supposed to do, that God has told them to do, and then you sort of get this, what is God doing? Has he forgotten about me? He's told me to pray to him. I'm doing that, but here I am being persecuted for praying to him. But that's where faith comes in. Faith is so, so powerful. But what a defining moment in Daniel's life. So again, I encourage you to read that, and that is in Daniel chapter 6. Two more. I'm going to try and get through these, and this one is an important one. We're back in the New Testament, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. When she was told that she was going to give birth to a son and should call his name Jesus. And of course, I'm sure this was a defining moment in Mary's life as well, because here she was, a virgin, having never been with a man, and God said, "You are going to be with child, and you will give birth to him, and you shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And she's going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And it was said that at the time, Mary, of course, was a teenager, probably in her early teens. So I'm sure that was a defining moment in her life. Here she is, having never known a man, having never been married. She's going to be pregnant. She's going to give birth to a son. Without going off into any deep theological things, because I know the Catholic Church holds Mary up higher than they should. I believe that they hold her up in higher esteem than Jesus, and that they put too much emphasis on Mary. And that's another rabbit trail that I don't want to go down. Nevertheless, that was a defining moment. The last one is one that is very well known, and that is the story of Noah. And for that, we go back once again to Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. You can read about Noah building the ark. And something that's interesting about Noah, I looked it up before I did this podcast episode, because I said, I wonder what Noah did before he built the ark. And the Bible isn't very clear. It doesn't tell us whether he was familiar with building a ship or whether he had built boats before or ships before or anything like that. It doesn't matter, because if we needed to know, God would have told us. Nevertheless, a defining moment was when God said, I want you to do something that's never been done before. I want you to build this boat. I'm going to flood the world. You and your family will be spared, and you're going to put two kinds of every animal in this boat, and I'm going to save you and your family. Again, took amazing, amazing faith. People were laughing at him. They thought that he was crazy. Here he is building this gigantic boat, and they were making fun of him because, again, nothing had ever happened like that. But he knew when God spoke to him, he knew his voice, and he trusted God. And, of course, God spared him and his family after the great flood and during the great flood. And so that was another defining moment in Noah's life. And Noah went on to live many, many years, I believe. He lived to be over 600 or maybe even 900 years old. So he lived a very long time, but I think that was probably one of the defining moments of his life was when God told him, I want you to build this gigantic boat, and I'm going to flood the earth, and you're going to float in this boat, and it's going to save you and your family and the animals. I'm sure many things were going through his mind at the time, but the amazing faith that Noah had in order to follow what God said. So those were some defining moments from God's word. I'm going to give you some personal defining moments in my life on the next part of this episode. But I hope that you see in these defining moments that God is in all the defining moments in our lives. And defining moments change the course of our lives. The defining moments I know have for me. They can change your heart. They can change your course of life. But God is in it all the way. And that's something that's very important. I'm so glad I was able to start this season with a very important topic and one that I've wanted to talk about, but this has been a year for my family, I tell you what, but I've got some defining moments that I want to share with you, and then I will get this episode wrapped up, possibly on the next part of this episode, but if not, it'll probably just take a couple more parts. So once again, thank you so much for listening. Let's say a quick word of prayer, and then I will close this out for today. Lord, thank you once again for giving us those defining moments in our lives. It's in those moments where I think we can see you the brightest in our lives, because those are the moments that change us forever. And they're not always great defining moments, but again, when we sit back and when we go back and look, we see that your hand was in them every step of the way. And Lord, thank you for giving us your grace and mercy each and every day. We certainly don't deserve that. And of course, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. I pray that there would be many that would go back and look in their lives and look for those defining moments, and that they would see that you are in those moments and just understand how much you love them and how much you love us, and that they would come to know you as your Lord and Savior if they do not already. Lord, thank you for making this a worldwide podcast and for giving me a platform to share the good news of your word with as many as I can. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for listening. This is Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. It's episode number one of season two, and I've entitled this Defining Moments in Our Lives. I hope you will tune in for the next part of this episode. So until next time, I'm Travis Sullivan. Remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless.